come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, as we just get into your word now, I pray, Father, that you would just speak your word. Help me to speak your word with boldness. Lord, I am thankful for the privilege that I get of being here and of being able to just preach your word, Lord. Help me to do it with boldness. Help me to say the things that your Holy Spirit puts on my heart to say. Lord, we pray for your intervention in our lives right now, Lord, that we would be infused with your Holy Spirit. When we have the lack of caffeine that we've learned to depend on, Lord, that we would be very aware that it is your Holy Spirit that's at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we do thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been a morning here at Refuge. There have been a lot of things that have gone on this morning, and not only in my life, not only in your life, but in the lives of the ladies as we were in there praying for you guys and praying for the study today. We were in there, and the things that people were praying about, we're just going, you know, the opening statement here just fits so perfectly. And so I've watched the Corsons. For those of you who don't know, you probably all know by now that Peter John has gone to be with the Lord. Peter John Corson, and I've watched as the Corsons have gone through this time of suffering and death, and it has made me grow. As I watched, as I heard Peter John preach his last sermon and listened to John and Ben with their commentary, I heard myself say out loud, I want to be like these guys. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, that comes with a price. And I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like him. And I want to walk with him closely. I probably have already told you this last week, didn't I? But Bill was talking with Peter John years ago when John Corson was moving to Orange County. He was here for a year. And Bill said to Peter John, it's going to be so different when your dad's not here. And do you think that it'll affect the congregation, or, you know, do you think that people will leave or new people will come? And Peter John said, it's only my dad leaving. Jesus is staying. So no, I don't expect there to be any difference. That was their walk. That's how they lived. That's how they spoke. Even in the times of death, that's where their hearts are at. And so, we pick up in chapter 4, still dealing with the healing of the lame man in chapter 3. We'll find this chapter that it is the beginning of persecution. We'll also see that this chapter, that once again, Peter and John are preaching the gospel, the same gospel. They're not making it bigger than it is. They're not making it littler than it is. They are preaching the very same gospel. And as I was preparing for this message, and we realized that this was the chapter that is the beginning of persecution, I was listening to David Zamora, and he said of walking through trials. So this is why all of this makes sense now that the day has started the way it has. In the midst of your trials, serve God with all your heart. Trials come to make a better you, to give you focus, purpose, and a plan for your life. Take every opportunity to proclaim the God of the universe, the God who is worthy of our worship, the God you can hope in, the God who teaches us to live righteously, the God you can rest in. Win the lost at any cost, and don't worry or complain. That's how we walk through trials. That's how we do that sort of thing. So God can be trusted. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for you. God has things prepared for us today, and he's prepared it. That's what I hang on to. He's prepared it. He's in charge. He's got it all together. Peter and John and the rest of the disciples would not be silenced, and we see that as we start in our chapter today. And so now as they spoke, starting with verse 1, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them while they were talking, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Why would that be a big deal, that they preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead? Well, you see that the Sadducees were there. The Sadducees were in a place in that group of people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. There were more Sadducees than there were Pharisees. Pharisees were very much on the law. Sadducees were a different type of people. They were, we only know what others have written about the Sadducees. They left no written record of their history, their organization, their views, and they were gone by AD 70. So what others wrote about them, for instance, Josephus, said that the Sadducees came from the governing class. They were usually quite wealthy. They were materialistic. There were more Sadducees than the Pharisees, but the Sadducees usually gave in to what the Pharisees wanted to do. Interesting thing. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection or even a hope for an afterlife. They didn't believe in the miraculous. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in hell. It reminded me of John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven, no heaven above us, no hell below us. Imagine that. Imagine a life without God. Imagine where we would be today. We wouldn't be, because God created us all. So I don't want to imagine. When I look at people that come in and help out other people during disasters, I don't want to think about what would happen if the Christians didn't go in, because no one else goes in. And so there they are. The Sadducees are saying that, and even if you don't believe in these things, it doesn't make them not true. So the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, and so let's get this little thing out of the way. They were sad, you see. Okay, so they are arrested. Peter and John are arrested. They're getting it's getting late, so they keep them in the jail overnight in verse 3. And then in verse 4, however, many of those who heard the word, believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Here they are. They're going off to jail. You are going off to jail because you are preaching this stuff and you're making us unhappy. And as they're going off to jail, we see the men who heard what they said. We learn it by the hearing of the word. It is by the hearing of the word that we learn what God is like, and we see it in other people. And so they didn't put a damper on the work of the Holy Spirit, because many who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And so things are happening, even though they are in the midst of their trials. Anyway, let's move on, and let me get this going here and stop reading all of my notes. Okay. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, who happened to be a Sadducee, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, which were all Annas's relatives, and they would have been Sadducees, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, so they brought Peter and John right into the midst of them, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? By what power or by what name have you done this? What is the authority that you have? And in verse 8, then Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a new Peter we're talking about here. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that the words that were coming out of his mouth were from the Holy Spirit. And so it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," and here we go again, he is preaching the same message that he preached before, "whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands there before you." By him this man stands before you. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Remember, what is in a name? Everything about Jesus was in his name. He is the Messiah. He is the one. Down to verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Holy Spirit, as it's poured out more and more on him, it is the name of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he said, "Father, if there is any other way, take this cup from me." There was no other way because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It had to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the name, that's the authority that we go under. And back up to verse 11, "This is the stone," he tells them, which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. This is the stone which you rejected. They're quoting Psalm 110. "And this, the cornerstone, was the first stone set in construction of a foundation for a building. The cornerstone determined the position of all other stones set in reference to this stone." So it sets the design. It sets everything in motion. It sets everything in its place. The entire structure was determined by the position of this stone. Jesus is the cornerstone that was the beginning of the construction of the entire temple. By rejecting Jesus, they rejected the very important first stone to be set in the construction of the temple. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. They rejected the cornerstone of this temple. We're not talking about the physical temple. He related it to something that they could relate it to. He is the cornerstone of our lives. He is the one that everything else is built on. He is the Savior of the world. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And so the people can tell you, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. They saw that, you know, they haven't gone to seminary. We know that they haven't gone to rabbi school. They haven't followed closely behind a rabbi. They haven't learned all the jargon. They haven't learned all of these things. And yet, they're speaking these things to us. And what does it say? It says, "And they realized that they had been with Jesus." They realized that they had been with Jesus. They marveled at these untrained, uneducated men, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They had been taught by Jesus himself for 3 years. They were not untrained. They were not uneducated. They had been taught by the Creator of the universe for 3 years. As they walk through all of this stuff with him, people can tell when you've been with Jesus. They could tell that Moses had been with Jesus. They could tell that Moses had been with God. His face shone. Our countenance changes when we have been with Jesus. I can go into a time with Jesus, into a time of prayer, with my head hung low, and sadness all around me, And when I emerge, you can tell that I have been with Jesus. I can go in just feeling like everything in the world is wrong. Everything hurts. Everything is in the wrong place. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Guess I'll go eat a can of worms. I don't know. But when I take that before Jesus, and I invest that time with Jesus, and I sit and I allow him to minister to me through his Holy Spirit, my countenance changes. You can see Jesus shining through when I've been with Jesus. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that because there is joy in the presence of the Lord. And so seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. It was obvious. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So they tell them, go out of the office. We've got to figure out something to do with you. What are we going to do with you? And then they talk amongst themselves and they say, they couldn't argue with what the healing. So they get into their little huddle and talk about it. A miracle has obviously happened, it says. A miracle has obviously happened. What were the Sadducees saying at that? They don't believe in miracles. But a miracle had obviously happened. How did they deal with that? We can't deny it, was what they said. So we'll threaten them and we'll tell them they can't say anything about this guy anymore. No more mentioning Jesus' name. No more talking about Jesus. No more. You can't do it. So they called them back in. They commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And I love their response. Don't you? You've studied it already. And so you can't speak in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Hey, guys, leaders of the church, what do you think? Should I listen to God or should I listen to you? Because apparently you are not hearing God. Because I know that what I'm hearing is from God. So should I do what God tells me to do or what you tell me to do? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That is evangelism right there. We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We teach the word. It's by the hearing of the word. We have to tell people about Jesus. We have to tell people what Jesus has done in our lives. They might argue with what we try to go through the Bible and try to prove something of the Bible. They cannot argue against our testimony. I was blind, but now I see. I was nearly dead, but now I'm alive. I was dead in my sins, but now I have life eternal. All of these things are things that happen in my life. These things are true. These things are just. These things, I can't help but tell you about it. So when they had further threatened them and said, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. If we say it three times, you really can't do it. Then they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because what was happening? God was being glorified. God was being glorified. They can't argue with that. The people are glorifying God. You can't argue with that. What they're doing is causing people to glorify God. You can't argue with it. Because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So this miracle of healing that had been performed, this guy had sat at the front of the gate for how long? We don't know. But we know that he was over 40 years old, so he'd been there a long time. They weren't able to say, this guy's been pretending the whole time. He knew he could get more money by doing that. You know, I don't know that you do it, but sometimes I do. I see people on the street corner, and I've seen them before, and now all of a sudden I see them with a crutch. And I kind of think, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. But this man was obviously from birth. And it was apparently and obvious. His feet were turned in a wrong direction, or his legs were bent, or something like that. It was obvious that he was lame. And now he's not. They can't argue with that. And so, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.'" That was Psalm 2. And they did it. They said it because it was prophesied by David that this is what was going to happen. All of the nations are going to rage. All of the people are going to plot vain things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. This God is in control, is what they're saying. God is in control. He knew this would happen. He knew what was going on, and he is in control. And then they began. They truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. They're saying it wasn't just Herod, it wasn't just Pontius Pilate, it wasn't just the Gentiles, it wasn't just the Jews. Everybody was against. It was all predetermined to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. It tells us again, God is in control. God is in control. He's got this. Whatever it is you're worrying about, he's got this. I worried about some things this morning, but I had to be reminded, God's got this. It's okay. And so now, Lord, look on their threats. Verse 29, I love this. I love it. So, Lord, look at their threats and give us boldness, all of us, boldness to preach your gospel, boldness that they may speak your word. How many times? Or how does that, by stretching out your hand, give us boldness to preach your word, to tell about you, by stretching out your hand, God, to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It's done through the name of Jesus. Nobody else is getting credit for it. Nobody else gets credit. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness by stretching out your hands. It was not these men who did the healing. It was the hand of God. And the signs and wonders would be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. These people prayed with boldness. They didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray, okay, get those guys out of office because they're making our life miserable. They didn't pray, get rid of these people. They didn't pray those things. They prayed for boldness to preach the gospel. Now, is it wrong to pray for protection? Absolutely not. But make sure that God is getting the glory. That's where it all lies. That's where it's all connected. Make sure that God gets the glory for all of it. We often pray to have a much better, calmer, protected, quiet life. Anybody else pray that way? I remember once praying for patience. We all know what happens then. What? The patience has to be tested to know that I have it. You know, I need to think these things through before I start praying. And God works in us through our trials. And he works in us to change us. They prayed for boldness to speak the word of God. They prayed to be able to win the lost at any cost. To win the lost at any cost. I don't know, were Peter and John beat up? Did something happen to them while they were in the prison there overnight? I don't know, but they were prepared for that. No matter what happens, we will win the lost at any cost. And what a powerful prayer. It says that where they were assembled shook. Was it an earthquake? Was it all them stomping their feet? Was it all them praising so loudly that it shook the whole place? I don't know, but it tells us that when you pray for boldness to preach the word, something happens. And whether or not it happens for all to see, it doesn't matter. What matters is God's got this. God's got you. God loves you. With an everlasting love and with his loving kindness, he has drawn you. And so by stretching out your hand and so forth, the name of Jesus, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit came upon them, immersed them once again, saturated them once again. Did they speak in other languages? We don't know at this particular time. It just says that what they did speak was the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives us boldness to become his witnesses. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They shared all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. What is it? God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor. It was poured out upon them. They were saturated with the grace of God. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. As anyone had need. They prayed. They had everything in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. No one had any lack, everything in common. Bethany led us this morning in, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we're going to end the service or the teaching a little bit differently today. That's what's being said here. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And I have a little thing here that I was looking at, and I've been going over this with why they sold everything and all of that. You remember that there were a lot of visitors in Jerusalem because of what? They were there for Pentecost, right? They were prepared to be there for 7 days, 1 week. And then the Holy Spirit came down upon them. And the Holy Spirit showed himself. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I see that these people who were prepared to stay for 7 days said, we don't want to go back home. We don't want to go back to the place where we live. We want to stay here. We want to see what's happening. We know that God has called us to be here. And so I believe, this is my personal belief, it is not a thus saith the Lord. It is not, I didn't hear it anyplace else. As I was looking over this, I was thinking about the fact that I believe that the people that came from other places sold their stuff in the other place and gave the money so that they could stay there in Jerusalem. Because if everybody in Jerusalem sold everything that they had, where would you where would you go? Where would you live? Where would you sleep? Where would you do any of those things? That's my own opinion. You can believe completely different, and it doesn't matter because it has nothing to do with our salvation. But I believe that they all came together in that way. And the reason that I think that is in verse 36, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. He was a Levite. That's the first thing I see. What do we know about the Levites? Are they supposed to own land? They didn't have land as an inheritance. In Numbers 18:20, Deuteronomy 10:9. But Barnabas had land, and it appears that he had land in Cyprus. And it says, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So I think, personally, I think that the people that came for 7 days and decided to stay sold stuff at home so that they could live there in Jerusalem and be a part of that. Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. I hope that you all have an encourager in your life. I know I have many encouragers in my life. I know Vanjie, who has shared an office with me for 21 years, has been my encourager. We've been through a lot of crazy things together, and she's always the encourager. And I pray that you have someone in your life as an encourager. So how do I get somebody in my life that's an encourager if I don't have one? Be that for someone else, and you'll find that it comes back to you to be that son of encouragement. And so in ending all of this today, and just looking at this thing that they were one in the Spirit, everybody had everything in common, everything was all together. And so we're just going to, we're going to sing that song again. I'm going to ask you to stand, but the persons that are leading us are King and Country. So you'll hear that begin, and if we can just stand and sing through all of the verses as they come up. Great. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you his peace. As you get into your small groups, love on one another like that. That's so beautiful. I love seeing you guys together like that. And isn't that just so cool to see each of us together like that? So bless you guys, and I'll see you next week.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.